everyone. We're going to start our program right on time. And the Baha'is, really of the whole world, and certainly of California, welcome all of our guests this morning to join us, and especially from the Baha'is. First, I want to read from the writings of Baha'u'llah, Father. Time for
seed that's planted, and they've been planted by the power of the greatest need. I'm not going to get to it now, yet. I'll have to digress from my digressions from time to time in this subject. This is the greatest need, you know, on the ring stone. Many times people say, what is that symbol on your ring? This is a little bit of what it is, but not very much. Abu-Baha, the perfect example of our faith, wrote about this is a Ba. The ring stone is composed of two Ba's, the letter B in Arabic version. Two of them, one like that and one like that. Ba. Abu-Baha wrote a tablet of 35 pages or verses, I believe, just on the subject of this alone. I'm not going to read it. Well, that will give you an idea. And when he finished all of his dissertations on the subject of the greatest name, he said this is the least of the significances of what is written on this stone of the greatest name. Because all of this means nothing. It is just a way of conveying the wonder and the joy of being alive one day, Muhammad. Somebody writes the greatest name this way. That's a B, and that's a B. Two Ba's. It is composed of two Ba's and four Ha's. These are, it's really not really what it looks like. Actually, it's drawn with a pure version or an Arab. You can do better than that. But that'll give you an idea. That's one, and that's one, coming together. And we have two here. So as it says in our writings, you know it, how you can read the name Baha, Baha'u'llah. Baha was the title of Baha'u'llah. It means glory. It means wonder. It means the outpouring of the love of Almighty God to man. No matter how you read it with, it's Baha, 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 in every direction. These are the four Ha's. Also it says in the writings of those days that Ha stands for the first word of Hulwiyat, which means divine essence, or of spirit, or this outpouring again of love. And the outpouring of the love of God, it says they are the foundation for the four corners of the earth, is the spirit. Everything we have is the spirit. So these are the two Ba's and these are the four Ha's. Now, this also represents the world of God, let us say, in another place. This is the first of the kingdoms. The world of God. As it says in all other religions, in the beginning, the Word was with God, right? The world of God, that's the beginning. And then we have the world of man down below. The world of God, the world of man, and in between, the world of the messenger of God. In the beginning, the Word was with God, Ba, or Fain, in Hebrew. It's the beginning of the book of Genesis, in the beginning. Ba, this initial begins it. In the New Testament, in the beginning, the Word was with God. It begins with this letter. In the Quran, Bismillah, in the name of God, it all begins with this. All these are part of the symbols, again, of the significance that you find in the greatest name. What you really need is a very gifted Persian scholar to go into the details of it. I'm giving you a sports announcer's limited understanding of the greatness of this name. That's why these charts, if you make a copy of this, it really means nothing. Beloved Guardian said, it's all right to make the charts and use them if you like, but you must understand that they are merely your attempt to try to convey the great theme of which you're speaking. You can't chart the Baha'i faith. Either it's administrative order, it's really its meaning. It's impossible, but it helps for a little of the understanding. So these are the three worlds. The world of God, the world of man, the world of the messenger of God, and the world of mankind. And they are linked by the second Ba. Again, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming down from the world of God to the world of man into this kingdom. That is the story of all revelation. That's the difference between mysticism and religion. The world of God and the world of man. That's the mystics. You can have 15 wonderful mystics, and it's important to pray, to meditate, to separate yourself from the world, to think. As our two very gifted speakers pointed out last night, really, in essence, that all of the great things we know, the great theorems of geometry and the great advances in nuclear physics and these ideas and inventions, they all came from the realm of the unknown. Somebody says, hey, that's a great idea. Where did you get that? What do you say? Well, it just came to me. Well, it came to you from somewhere. Boole, the mathematician, said all of the great accomplishments he had came to him through prayer. What he meant by meditation, he said. He tried to shut off the world, to think, concentrate, and just separate himself and his intellect the best he could from all around him. That is a form of prayer. Work, it does in the Baha'i faith, is prayer. The work we do, no matter what it is, we do it to the best of our ability. It is prayer, and it attracts all these knowledges. And that's why in prayer is a different concept in the Baha'i faith. So, mystics have the world of God and the souls, very detached. But there is no unity in the world because of them. Because the 15 mystics coming together to try to find a plan for world unity will probably have 15 plans for world unity. And they all may be very good. As Winston Churchill said about the meeting when they had in London with the great world leaders, they had 15 wonderful plans for world unity, but they didn't have any unity. And therefore nothing happened. And that's why we have the world of the messenger in between. Because he is the cohesive power, the one that we group ourselves around and we raise up a Jewish civilization, an Islamic civilization, a Christian civilization, a Hindu civilization, a Buddhist civilization. And in this day now, in its very embryonic form, the Baha'i civilization, the fulfillment of these civilizations. There goes one of the old civilizations now. That's what's happening around us in the world. So, that is the fundamental difference between mysticism, which we have in the faith. We have mysticism in the sense it's beautiful. Closeness to God in prayer and developing our spiritual things, but we have something more. We have the world of the messenger that binds us all together. So that's the story. It's the story of Moses, Krishna, Buddha, all the messengers of God from the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word. And all the other part that's told in this symbol is like evolution. In the Baha'i faith, we don't believe, you know, we know God is unknowable, indefinable. We can't ever say what he is. It's impossible. Because that's the world of God. But through these great world educators and teachers, just like you get all of your knowledge from great teachers in various fields, so we get our spiritual knowledge from these great teachers. And they bring to us the qualities and the attributes of God, a Moses, a Christ, and a Baha'u'llah. I'll stick with those three just for purposes of simplicity here. It applies to all of the messengers of God. But in the West, mostly from a Jewish and Christian background, so we'll say Moses, Christ, and Baha'u'llah. So this is the story of their coming, unfolding a greater truth. But we know that we had this tremendous evolution. We can't even count the ages of it. In the beginning, through the mineral, which is a tremendous thing, really. Those of you who fool around with nuclear physics and uranium and those things know that you get a uranium atom in there, that's one of the greatest things in the world with all of those electrons, 96 is it, or is there more? I haven't counted lately, as the man said. Going around a central nucleus, tremendous solar system. Imagine thousands of miles a second, never touching, and yet so small that it's invisible. Such a constant, tremendous like vitality. And as they say, well, we've just mentioned it here now, every one of those 96 has gone all the way to Tokyo and back. Imagine. Well, that's life and vitality, that's tremendous. But then alongside of this flower, which grows, it has the atomic affinity, it grows, it has color, it has fragrances, it has beauty, it augments itself. The stone is nothing. That's another development. That's analogous as we come along to the vegetable kingdom, and as evolution proceeds, we come to the animal kingdom, where the animal pulls himself up from the earth. He has the body of the stone, the mineral, he has the augmentation of the vegetable, he has the colors, he has the senses, instincts, eyes, all something new and wonderful. You would say that alongside of a beautiful animal, a stone was nothing, but they're both alive. Then we come to the human kingdom, which gathers together all of these qualities, the atomic affinity of the mineral, the growth, the beauty, the color of the vegetable, the mobility of the animal, its instincts, its understanding. We have also the concept of the intellect, where you can teach a dog, since the early days of Caesar, to speak Greek, and he's not going to learn to speak Greek. He can do a lot of other interesting things, but he won't learn how to speak. I don't know why I think Greek, or why he'd want to speak Greek, but the point, I think, is that we have something greater, the concept of the intellect, from the unknown things we know to known things. Now, the significance of that in relation to the greatest name, and it's the least of the significances, really, is that all of this time, through evolution, was being developed on the earth, the spiritual being capable of knowing God, loving him, and serving his fellow man. For mankind's welfare on this world, the Baha'i faith teaches, it's not for the next kingdom, only that sort of thing. It's to reform this world while we're in it, and develop our own spiritual powers at the same time. So all of that came to the time of the greatest name, and the time of the world of God, the world of the messenger, and the world of mankind. Because when we reach the mineral kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, it's a long trip. When we reach that kingdom, we have now come to the apex of creation on the earth. Man will improve greatly. Praise be to God soon. But he will never be replaced by a different kingdom on this planet. That is the highest kingdom. And therefore the messengers, Moses, Christ, and Baha'u'llah, and the others, came then to talk to the spiritual part in man. That power of the concept and of the intellect, not the body and all these things he shares with the mineral, the vegetable, and the animal. It is now a spiritual story. And this was the purpose of creation from the beginning. And therefore we have these messengers of God who come to link the world of God to the world of man. And that's the story we find here in the greatest name. These two stars you find in the waystone, of course, are symbols of the two messengers of our faith, the heralds of our faith, the Bab and Baha'u'llah. As it said in all the great religions of the past, they talked about this day. Baha'is didn't make that up. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Zoroastrians, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, all talked about the two great messengers that would appear in the last day. And these are the two, Bab and Baha'u'llah. In reality, one faith. As Baha'u'llah spoke of the Bab as his previous manifestation, the religion is one. These are the twin stars in the form of a five-pointed star because it's also a symbol of man with the head and the arms and the legs. In other words, it is a physical channel. It is the world of the messenger that links the world of God with the world of man in a form that they can understand. They are not God, these messengers. They are not. Baha'u'llah makes it clear that to say so would be tantamount to a tremendous betrayal of the fundamentals of the faith. But they are like the mirror. This again, you might say this is the sun. The world of God is the sun. Well, Baha'u'llah likens God to the sun because it's the light giver of the earth. It's purely a symbol, of course. The sun is not God. It never can ever begin to. Because our solar system is, you know, like one grain of sand in all the beaches of the world. But he likens God to the sun because it's the physical light giver. The sun gives the physical light and God gives the spiritual light. So God is like the sun and the world of man is like the earth. The sun doesn't come down to the earth, it sends its rays. That's what makes everything grow, what brings a new springtime, a new life and a new vitality. And those rays, again, are the messengers of God in the spiritual realm that bring this life down to mankind, to give it new life and new vitality. Now that's the story of the oneness of religion, and that's what your ringstone really means. It's a beautiful, it's a simple thing. It raises up the station of Moses and of Christ and of all the religions of the world and does not set them in opposition to each other. It shows everybody, whatever their religion was, how beautiful it was, but how a new day had come. That all of us, we have the world of God and the world of man, and these messengers had come from the beginning of time into the human kingdom to teach man about God and to always bring him closer to develop the powers in his heart and in his intellect for a great world civilization. And all the great religions spoke of that day as well. So that essence of this up here is purely a very intriguing aspect of it that you'll find in many, many other places. You know, the Phoenicians were the first ones to devise an alphabet. About many of these things, there are still historical debates going on. And some people say there was a tribe about 8 miles beyond the Phoenicians that really started it. But generally speaking, most of the authorities agree that the Phoenicians devised an alphabet to help them with their commercial affairs because they were great businessmen. But they didn't have any mathematical system, and numbers bothered them, you know, and when they wanted to send their bills around to collect their money, they had a little trouble. So they also gave to their alphabet numerical significance. This is, you've heard of it called the Abjad reckoning. It's from the first four letters, A, B, J, D. It's not like ours, A, B, C, D. No, this is the way they used it, and it was called Abjad. A was number 1, B, 2, 3, J, 3, and so on, all down the line. If you owed somebody $9, you'd get a bill that would say key. And you know right away that was for nine, whatever it means. Well, $1 in those days, it was nine of whatever they had. So that was the idea of using. It was very wonderful. It doesn't seem like much to us now, because from India, of course, we've got the Arabic system. We call it Arabic, but the Arabs really got it from the Indians and developed, and so it's much more effective. But that was tremendous in those days, really. And then as time went on and this system came into being, the poets and the philosophers who've been using that for a long time kept it. This is not numerology at all. It's Abjad reckoning. It's something that you find particularly amongst the Arabs and amongst the Jews still to this day. It's fascinating to them. Because since these letters not only had a literal value, but had a numerical value, they would write messages and names by using names that would add up to 45, and this became their way of expressing mystical and poetic inferences in things of beauty. And there was a great study of it. Many of the great scholars were very familiar with this, and they would use it very effectively. As a matter of fact, you'll recall in the Dawnbreakers that you know, we say that the Bob adds up to 5, right? Well, this is why, you see. B-A-B. 2 and 1 and 2 adds up to 5. That was the number of the Bob. Baha'u'llah adds up to 9. Well, in Arabic, it's B-H-A is the way it's spelled. The first A doesn't mean anything, but that line over the second one really means that's 2 A's, actually. So there's 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 are 4, and 5 is 9. So the number of Baha'u'llah was 9. Baha. And that's why you see, in 4 corners of the earth, held up by the name Baha, 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 Baha. It means glory, meaning the glory of God. The glory of this God is reflected in the mirror of Baha'u'llah, his messenger. Now, all the stories talked about, every great religion also had the story of the Adam and Eve story. And it talked about the time, the great time of the end, when this principle would come into being on a spiritual basis, just as it did physically. That's all we're going to get, and I'm sure you can see that, but you'll have a lot of fun finding out more about it, because it seems tremendous. But Master Adam Bond tells us, you know, some answered questions in other places, that the story of Adam and Eve is a symbolical story. And Eve is the spirit, and finally associated with the physical was the spirit. It's that evolutionary story, and mineral, vegetable, animal, human, and when that came, Eve, or the spirit of man, came into being in the human kingdom, and the great messengers of God came to lift up that eternal part of it. That was the story of all the religions in one form or another. And they all spoke of the last day when this would be true collectively for mankind as well as individually for each human soul to understand. In fact, there's a tradition in Islam that says that the time of the end of the great promised one, the second of these twin stars and manifestations, says that I and Ali will be the father and mother of the people, which is the Adam and Eve story. Now, another thing that's intriguing about these numbers, you see over here in Arabic, Eve, leaving off the alphabet, is spelled H-W-A in the Arabic, and the H is 8, the W is 16, A-1 comes up to 15. Adam, A-D-M, 1, 4, and 40 adds up to 45, according to this abjad reckoning that the scholars and the poets would write about. Now, we also find when we take the Bob 5, that included in the numbers of abjad reckoning of 5, you have a 5, a 4, 3, 2, and a 1. They're all in 5. When you add them up, you get 15, or the number of Eve. And when you have 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the number of Baha, you add them up, you get 45, the number of Adam. And Bob, as you would know, his name was Ali, and Baha'u'llah's name, Baha's glory, in his Hasidic iteration, I and Ali will be the father and the mother of the world. And here we have again Adam and Eve, 15, 45, Baha'u'llah and Bob and Baha'u'llah, 15 and 45. Another one of these interesting and intriguing things that comes all out of one tiny little symbol of the ring. And the story of the Adam and Eve merely again means that collectively for all mankind, the spirit of Almighty God in this day will be brought into the hearts of men to lift them up, to give them unity, to give them cohesion, and a social plan for all mankind. Not just something we pray about and we try to do the best we can with our lives, but that link between the world of God and the world of man becomes the social link around which is incarnate the visible order in Islamic, the Christian, the Jewish, and the Buddhist, the Baha'i civilization. That's all a part of this great and wonderful thing. So many things, really. I'm going to have to skip along here. In the number 9, we say we call also Muhammad the greatest name. The number 9 is the greatest number. Why? Well, because it's the largest of all the numerals. We start with 0 and we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? If we want to go any further, we have to go to 10, but that means it's 1 and 0 again. And then 11 is 1 and 1. Nothing is bigger than the 9. It takes them all in. Of God, the oneness of his messenger, the oneness of mankind, and opening in your mind, it has nothing to do with the Baha'i faith. This is what the nine have been doing all over. It's a very questionable number, really. From the beginning, people have said, what is that about that number nine? They never knew. Well, now they're beginning to find out. And they're going to find out more than ever all over the world, because there are nine members on every assembly when it comes together, who bring the oneness of God, of all his races, all his religions, and all his peoples to work in this planet, so that there will be better homes, better opportunities to work, to develop the talents of the heart, and to pour out our natural creative powers in every way possible. This is the meaning of this symbol and the great, great thing. When you get to think of it, it's all over. Then to think of all of that could be inherent in the power of it. And that's just the beginning of the greatest name. But this nine was always a great gift and intriguing thing. As a matter of fact, you know, the ancients called it the irrepressible number. Whenever you use nine as a factor in a mathematical calculation, it's bound to come out of everything else. You see, it's irrepressible. It's there all of the time. A symbol building up to an understanding. It's the highest number that can be expressed in one digit, as we say, hence it's supreme, the greatest. All of that, this number, long before Muhammad's message came into the world. It contains all of the other digits, just as his religion contains all of the other religions. You don't have to go to Moses to raise Christ, or little Christ to raise Baha'u'llah. It's all part of the same truth. If you say Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Moses, Christ, Baha'u'llah, they're different names. But if you think of the sun that comes up every day on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, they're one, and they're no different. That's the meaning of the nine. All of these great religions, and some, of course, in history that we don't even know about, but nine that are very familiar, these are all part of one progressive revelation. Day of God, we call religions. Like the 7 days of the week. Every day is the same in the night and the heat that it brings. And the people here on today, what is today? Yes, I want to know more about my son than about the calendar. Friday. Now we all accept Friday as a wonderful day. The light's out there, it's making things grow, and we're happy with it. Supposing we were so attached to this day that when tomorrow came, we'd say, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with Saturday. I don't want anything to do with Saturday. I don't even Friday. Pull down all the shade, put on the dark lights, it has nothing to do with it because it has a different name. That's what happens in religion when they're really all the same. All part of this one great outpouring of God. And the day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday means nothing. If I were to hold up in front of you three great mirrors here, and that was the sun, you'd see the light in each one, wouldn't you? Baha'u'llah said, God is like the sun, the world of God. These are like the messengers, the world of the messenger, and those that are shining upon the world of mankind. But if you saw them all in three mirrors, then you knew that was so fantastic that you can't quite grasp it. But here's another thing. The mathematicians have been fooling around with 9 for a long time. Now, you take the number 9, number 1 divided by 9, and you get an endless row of 1s. You divide the number 2 by 9, and you get an endless row of 2s. You divide number 3 by 9, and you get an endless row of 3s, and so on, and so on. And I just wanted to put down this one example here of what happens. You take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. Now, then you take 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. I guess these are on vacation. Now, and you take that and you multiply that. You know what you get? I don't really have quite enough room, but I'll sort of move over. See, I neither draw very well nor add very well, but I got it on something. But you have like this. These are all ones.
So for years and years, all of these things, they great writers and scholars have
signifies to bless.
Amen.
That's what it is. Another quotation. The Talmudic treatise entitled Haggadah affirms, quote, the world was created by the letter Bet Ba. But a counter-affirmation on authority of another rabbi substitutes the letter A or the letter Ha, or taken together, Bet Hey or Baha in Arabic.
How many of them? Years and years, centuries, that these things have been collected looking forward to what would happen in that last day.
In texts dealing with the sacred name, the I Am That I Am, are found many references to the Adam and Eve principle. Also, for example, its new Adam, the deliverer to come, is not without an Eve, who has an office in creation for all ages. Concerning the divine sacred name of God, it will be known at a period when the greatest Ba, this is in Arabic, we mean Ba, another Ba, the Holy Spirit above and the Holy Spirit below, greatest name, the world of God and the world of man, for the word of the messenger, are one. And when the letter K or Ha and the letter Ba are united, Hovala, in the name of God. Ba, Bismillah, in the name of God. The period is that of the Messiah in the last day again, the period when this will take place. The period is that of Messiah the King in his triumph, when the Ba shall be united with the Ha. And when the sons of Israel, which of course would be the Muslims, shall make war on all other nations about the precincts of Jerusalem. The reference to whose soul shows that it is just before the great resurrection. And we know from the New Testament that the holy city shall be trod underfoot 42 months or 1260 days, or 1260 again the year, with the completion of the Muslim dispensation in 1844 and our dispensation. So you see how it is. No end to it. You open up the door, it's like a great wave and a great ocean of knowledge and understanding and all underneath the beginning day. Two more. When Israel was driven from its abode, the letters of the sacred name were separated one from another, if it be permissible, so to speak. The king, or Ha, was separated from the Ba. And hence the psalmist said, I am done with Hina. When the Ba is separated from the Ha, the word is still. When the sixth millennium comes, the Ba shall raise up the Ha, and Isaiah will be lifted up, and Israel will be lifted from the dust. In the time of the letter Ha, I'm using the Arabic from which you're familiar, it's the Hay and the Ha and so on from the Hebrew, but the Ha is the equivalent in Arabic. When the letter Ha, we know that's five. Equivalent of number five, and again, the equivalent of Bob, as we saw before, is five. Also the number of the Ba. In the time of the letter Ha, that is when he shall rise from the earth, God will fulfill all that which is mentioned in Isaiah. Then there's one other just intriguing for itself. The number 60 is fixed for the manifestation of the first, and the number 6 for that of the second. I don't pretend to know to explain the mysticism of these numbers, but I know that the number 6 is represented by the Bob, and the son of David is connected with this number. Remember the tablet that the Bob revealed? I believe it was in Isfahan that the Manichur Khan, I'm not sure, but you'll find it in the Dominators, about the mystery of the great reversal of the letter Bob, and the whole word of the time when he poured out about the significance of this letter. Well, 60 we know, of course, again, we could say, in the year scientists have talked about the day when there would be this unification. A unification that can be built on love, not on hate, and upon unity, not on destruction. We are the people who have heard the call, imagine the cry of the greatest thing. And therefore, let each one of us, as we lay our heads in our pillow tonight, think tomorrow, or even today, before we lay on the floor, what can we do to change this world? Because that's what makes the difference. One seed coming up out of the ground and blossoming, no matter what anybody else does, will turn into the flower that will have its own seeds, and that's how we'll get the harvest. It begins with a hero or a heroine who will change the way that they have been going. Why? On behalf of the promised one of all religions, Baha'u'llah. These are the titles given to Baha'u'llah in the Doctrine of Life, which is the recollection, again, in reminding us of the greatest name, the world of God, the world of man, and the world of his messenger, was come to bring that inner serenity, tranquility, and happiness. For to please God, it doesn't matter if you please anybody else. You will be happy, and you will be radiant, and your life will be full and exciting. I'm quoting part of the doctrine. He who in such dramatic circumstances was made to usher, to sustain the overpowering weight of so glorious a mission, was none other than the one whom posterity will acclaim, and whom the innumerable followers already recognized as the judge, the lawgiver, the leader of all mankind, the organizer of the entire planet, the unifier of the children of men, the inaugurator of the long-awaited millennium, the originator of a new universal cycle, the establisher of the most great peace, the fountain of the most great justice, the proclaimer of the coming of age of the entire human race, the creator of a new world order, the inspirer and founder of a world civilization, Lord of hosts, everlasting Father, Christ returning, the descent of the Spirit of God, Shaharam, reincarnation of Krishna, fifth Buddha, Baha'u'llah, an appellation recorded in the Persian Bayan, signifying at once the glories of life and the splendor of God. The Lord of hosts, the most great name, the ancient beauty, the Ben of the Most High, the hidden name, the preserved treasure, he whom God will make manifest. The most great light, the all highest horizon, the most great ocean, the supreme heaven, the pre-existent root, the self-subsistent, the day star of the universe, the great announcement, the speaker on Sinai, the scepter of men, the wrong one of the world, the desire of the nations, the Lord of the covenant, the train beyond which there is no passing, the Prince of Peace, wonderful, counselor, rod come forth from the stem of Jesse, branch thrown out of his roots, he who shall be established on the throne of David, he who will come with strong hand, he who shall judge among the nations, he who shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips slay the wicked, he who shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, he with glory, branch who shall grow up out of his place, he who shall build the temple of the Lord who shall be king over all the earth, Son of Righteousness with meaning in his wings, World Savior, Maitreya, the Buddha of Universal Fellowship, the Most Great Spirit, the Tenth Avatar, the Immaculate Manifestation of Krishna, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Son of Man, the Lord of the Vigor, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last, the essence of being, the remnant of God, the Omnipotent Master, the Crimson All-Encompassing Life, the Lord of the Visible and the Invisible, the sole object of all previous revelations,